You know, the last few weeks we have been teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Have you been enjoying this series, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount? And we're going to continue that thought this morning, and we're going to pick up in Matthew chapter 6. So if you want to grab your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. Who has their Bible in here? I mean, we're in church, y'all. If you have a phone, you have access to a Bible. Turn in your Bibles, follow along with me, Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus is going to teach us about worry. Anybody in here and you have been worried before? Just me? How many of you are worried that I'm not talking about worry? I can think of a time, there have been many times that I have been worried about things, but I think about a specific time where I was overcome with worry. About 5 years ago, we were at our Great Neck campus, and we used to have 6 p.m. services every Sunday night. Who remembers our 6 p.m. services every Sunday? They were awesome. And I remember it was one 6 p.m. service. And for those of you, hopefully most of you have been to our Great Neck campus, but for those of you that may be new or you haven't been there, it is very large. Like, I don't know how many, 85,000 square feet. It's huge. And there is a massive parking lot. It's on a busy street. It is 3 levels. It is seats like 3,000 people in the auditorium. There are classrooms on classrooms. There's a preschool there. There's a lot happening. It's awesome. And so we had just finished a 6 p.m. service, and, you know, we're in the lobby talking to people. At the time, I had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. Jax, my eldest, was 3. Lennon was 1. So she was in a stroller, and Jax was just running everywhere, as 3-year-olds do. And all of a sudden, I realize, I don't know if I got caught in conversation or what happened, but I realize I don't know where Jax is. And so I do, isn't this what we do as parents? I'm like, Jared, do you have Jax? And he's like, no, I thought you had Jax. Anyone been there? And so we proceed to try and find Jax. Keep in mind, this is a big facility, lots going on, people everywhere. And so, you know, at first I'm like, it's fine. My kids do this all the time. They run. They think that they own the place. And so we're like, we're going to find him. No big deal. So we start searching, and we can't find him. And so a minute turns into like 3 minutes, turns into like 5 minutes, and we have searched the classrooms, we've searched the auditorium, we've gone up and down the lobby, we've gone to the second floor, the third floor, we've searched all the offices. We can't find him. And so we're 5, 6, 7 minutes, and I am just starting to feel overwhelmed with worry. You ever been there? And maybe my Achilles heel is that I love crime TV shows. Anybody else? It's so not good for me. Like, because in that moment, when worry began to overcome me, all common sense went out the window. And I began to tell myself of these terrible situations where Jax probably is, that in reality, he was not. Like, you ever been there? You're like, worst case scenario, I'm going to worry about the worst possible thing that could be happening. I had convinced myself of these terrible scenarios. I'm like, it's going to be like that movie where someone came in and took him, and we're going to get a ransom call, and we're going to have to give them $50,000. He's 3, and we're in the church. Like, Alyssa, come on. Anyway. And so I am like, petrified. I am like state of worry 1000. And I begin to, I'm like frantically, everything goes out the window where I'm screaming Jax. I look like a crazy person. And Jared, who is like staying calm, and he's like, he's here somewhere. We just have to find him. And so we're just, you know, going crazy, I'm going crazy. Jared is not. I would like to, yeah, clarify. And so I'm going crazy. I've pictured these terrible scenarios in my head. I am so overcome with worry. And then sure enough, Jared's checking all the clouds. We're asking kids volunteers, are you sure you didn't see him like slip back in, whatever, we're checking bathrooms. Nobody can find him. People are starting to help us try and find him. And then all of a sudden, Jared goes back through the classrooms again and he hears a little rustle in the corner. Mind you, we had been screaming his name in every class that we went into. Here's a little rustle in the corner, and there Jax is kind of hiding, playing with toys, and he didn't answer us because he didn't want to leave. And here I am, overcome by worry. Have you ever felt like that before? Ever had a scenario where all wisdom, all whatever, goes out the door because you are overcome with worry? I don't know about you, but there's nothing worse. We're going to pick up in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus tells us that we don't need to worry. You don't need to worry. Can I just remind us as well as we pick up in this verse that Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to Christ followers, Christians. In fact, he's talking to people that have given up everything to follow him. Some of them have been beaten, have been flogged. Some of them will lose their lives for following him. And yet this is what Jesus says to them. This is convicting. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And I love the title of this section of scripture is titled, Do Not Worry. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't worry about it. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I love this part. Can any one of you work by worrying add a single hour to your life? No. And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? And then what does he say? Oh, you of little faith. He's talking to people that have given up everything to follow him. Oh, you of little faith, can you not trust me? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And then he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Again, turn to your neighbor and say, don't worry about it. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are in this place, that we have the ability to meet with you together this morning. Thank you that we have the ability to worship together. And God, we come to you this morning with open hearts, ready to hear from you. I pray that we would have soft hearts as we hear your word this morning. Let it shape us and change us and challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I think about the scenario and I think about worry in general. What does worry do to us? Worry is overwhelming. Worry is confronting. It begs for your focus. It wants to rule your emotions and take over your life. And worry will rule your life if you let it, even cripple you from doing what God has called you to do. You know, the crazy thing about worry is that we can worry about the past. We can worry about the future. We can worry about the present. There is an endless possibility of things that we could be worried about. I think about the things that we worry about today. We worry about money. We worry about finances. We worry about our house when things break and things go haywire. We worry about education, what our kids are being taught. We worry about our job. We worry about our family, our kids, our spouse, our health, the election. We not worried? Cool. We can worry about it all. Relationships, friends, pets, you name it. We can worry about it. In fact, there are people that are making a living off of your worry. Selling you things that are supposed to help you get rid of your worry, like alcohol. The next, you know, gummy that's going to take away all your problems. Right? The next essential oil that if you just do this, all your worry will be gone. But can I encourage you, or self-care, just care about yourself more. Then you won't need to be worried. And I'm all for taking care of yourself, but that is not going to answer your worry. And that will not get rid of your worry. When we look at Matthew chapter 6, again, Jesus is talking to those who are following him. Christians. People who have given up everything. And he says, you don't need to worry about a thing. When in the natural, honestly, they would have a lot to be worried about. And yet he says to them, don't worry. Today, the word for you is don't worry about it. And he says, the way that you overcome this is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. How do we overcome worry? By seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. So what does that look like on a practical level for you and I? How do I overcome worry? By seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. I'm glad you asked. Point number one, how do I overcome worry? I pray. I get into his presence. How do I seek first his kingdom? I talk to him. I pray. I get in the presence of God. Philippians 4, I love this verse. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in what situation? Just the situations that we like to give to God? No. Every situation. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, say every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what happens when you do? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want the peace of God to rule my life. I don't want worry to rule my life. And so what am I going to do? I am going to pray. It says, pray and the peace of God, which transcends all natural understanding. When it doesn't make sense, I can live with peace because I have given it to God. Psalm 55, 22, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. When was the last time that instead of worrying, I prayed? Is that something that I have in practice in my life? That instead of worrying, I stop and I pray. I am challenged by that. You know, in fact, I was doing some research and I found this book, and I'm not recommending it necessarily because I haven't read it. Could be great, could be terrible. But I love the title of the message, and it said, worried about nothing because I pray about everything. And I thought, I want that to be my motto, that I'm not worried about anything. Why? Because I pray about it all, and I give it to God. I seek his kingdom in prayer. You know, I told you a story about how I lost Jax, and it's a silly story of how I lost him. But I want to tell you another story about another woman that lost a child. like couldn't find their child, and how she handled it very differently than I did. In fact, that woman is sitting here this morning, and her name is Lisa, and she's an incredible mom. And I remember a couple years ago that Lisa, we were just chatting in the lobby, and Lisa came to, we're just chatting about life and, you know, what happened this week, and she began to tell me this story of how she went to go pick up her son from school. And he was in elementary school at the time, and she went to go pick him up from the teacher, and it was at release time, and she went to go pick him up. She walked up to go get him, and he wasn't there. And so the teacher then realizes, oh my gosh, I don't know where he is. And they're like, okay, we're going to try and figure out where he is. They search the classroom. He's not there. They search the school. He's not there. So they are trying to figure out where her son is. I feel like that's every parent's nightmare. And so they began, you know, trying to figure out, is he on a bus? Did he end up with people that were walking home? And maybe he got caught in a group or something like that. And I remember me saying to Lisa in that moment, oh my gosh, were you not so worried? And she looked at me and said, no. And I'm like, what? How were you not worried? And she was like, oh, Alyssa, I have covered that boy too much in prayer. I have prayed for his protection. I have prayed for wisdom. I have prayed for God to guide him. And so she said, I stood in that moment and I prayed again. God, I pray that you give me wisdom in finding him. God, I pray that you protect him wherever he is. And so she began, she got in her car and started going around the neighborhood where he could have been had he walked. Because I can't remember the exact scenario, but I think they figured out he wasn't on a bus, so they were trying to find him. And there he was. He had left with a group that was walking, and she found him in the neighborhood, just wasn't sure where he was, but she found him. And I will never forget that moment in the lobby because I was so convicted by Lisa's faith. That in the moment where things could have been chaotic, she could have been worried and had every right to be worried, but yet she was not. She was filled with peace. Why? Because she had given it to God. Over and over and over. That you can live with peace when you choose to pray. Amen. Number two, how do I overcome worry? I remind myself of his promises. We can stand on his promise and we can stand on the word of God. Could I suggest that our worry could be rooted in our lack of trust and faith in God? And most often we lack trust and faith in God because we lack the knowledge of who he is. We lack the knowledge of the promises, knowing the promises, knowing the word of God for ourselves. Do you know his promises for your life? Do you know what the word of God says about you? How much God loves you, how much he has a plan for your life? That he's going to protect you. That he is with you. He will never leave or forsake you. Do you know that? Do I stand on the word of God? Do I stand on his promises? Do I even know his promises? You know, as a child, for those of you who are maybe new or new on this journey, maybe for you it just starts with reading the word of God. Maybe for you that your next step is opening up your Bible and beginning to read the word of God. Beginning to read his promises. But can I maybe challenge those of us who have been on the journey for a while, and maybe we're kind of good with reading the word of God? Can I ask you, have you memorized scripture? I've been reading this book, The Celebration of Discipline, and it's not about discipline in the way that which we think it is, but it's the disciplines of a Christian. Things that we should be doing as a Christian. One of those is repeating the word of God, getting it inside of us and memorizing it. And I have been deeply convicted about how much of the Word of God I have inside of my heart. Most of, or a lot of what I know and have memorized, I actually learned as a kid. Anyone else? You grew up in kids' church and you got to memorize the Word of God? Maybe through a song? Maybe just through straight memorization? I want to also take a step further. I know this is a challenging message. You guys are quiet. It's challenging, I know. I'm challenged too, I promise you. But can I take it a step further for those of us who are parents and have our kids in our kids' ministry? You know, I was talking about how most of the, or a lot of the verses that I have memorized, I memorized as a child in kids' church. And I want you to know that each and every month, we take the time to teach your kids scripture as well. In fact, each month, they have a Bible verse that we encourage them to memorize. And they get Boba Bucks if they do it. Every parent in here knows about Boba Bucks. My kids live for Boba Bucks. We encourage them to memorize the Word of God. Why? So that when they are older, they know what the Word of God says. And can I maybe challenge us as parents? Our kids are getting equipped and memorizing the Word of God, but are you? Do you even know the scriptures that they're learning? You know that we hand them out every week? And it can be one paper that we get and gets in the back of the car, and trust me, I am not perfect at this. Sometimes it goes in the back of my car too. But as a family, can we start taking that on to learn those scriptures with our kids? That last month, they learned the scripture, suppose I can be trusted with something very little, then also I could be trusted with something big. This month, I don't have it memorized yet, so I'm going to read it to you. See, I'm still a work in progress too. This month, they are learning that the scripture, Colossians 3:12, you are God's chosen people. This is what your kids are learning. You are holy and dearly loved. So put on tender mercy and kindness as if they were your clothes. Don't be proud, be gentle, and be patient. Can I encourage you? Let's be people that know the Word of God. Know the promises that God has for us. That we are ready. We have that scripture memorized inside of us. Place it around your house. I don't care what you have to do to get it inside of your spirit. But get the Word of God, His promises for your life inside of you. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, a couple years ago, we found out that we were pregnant with what we now know as Zev. And I remember I went into my first appointment for little Zevi, and it was in the midst of COVID, which was not fun to ever go to the doctor's office in the midst of COVID, because my first ultrasound, Jared couldn't be there. He had to sit in the car and wait. And I remember when they did the ultrasound that it took a little longer than what I knew it to have been. That makes sense. And so I remember being like, okay, that's weird, but it's COVID. Everything's taking longer, so whatever. And then I remember the doctor came in and met with me. Again, I'm by myself. And I remember they told me that there were some kind of alarming things that showed up on the ultrasound, and none of which the scenarios ended well. And I'm not going to go into detail, but the options that they gave us were not great either. But the last option they said is, you know what, if you really want, you can wait and we can do another ultrasound in 6 weeks, but I don't want you to have your hopes up. And I remember leaving that office, and honestly, I was in tears, and I go to the car and Jared's excited and I'm just like a mess. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what this is going to look like. And yet I remember he grabbed my hand and he said, we're going to pray. Alyssa, We don't need to live with fear of the unknown. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and what? A sound mind. So whatever this looks like, and whatever this may, like, however this may end, or however this may happen, at the end of the day, we give it to God. And we trust God at his word. Whatever this looks like. And so we sat in the car and we just prayed. And we began to speak scripture over our lives, like that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Psalm 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Did it change my situation in that moment? No, but I had the peace of God. Do you have the peace of God this morning? Or have you allowed worry to creep into your heart? Because whatever your situation is, you can live with peace. Amen? And it comes through also knowing the word of God, his promises for your life. Number three. Oh, I didn't even go through. I had a lot of promises, but you can Google them yourself. That's a great thing about the day and age which we live in, honestly, is there is no reason that we don't have to know the promises of God. It is so easy. Google scripture on whatever it is you're dealing with, and Google will give you 500 verses on what God says about that. It is so easy. I had a list of like 100 verses, but we're not going to go through that. You can Google it in your own time. This is also, before I get to number three, this is also why I love worship and worship music. Because what am I doing in those moments? I am speaking and declaring the promises of God over my life. 90% of the time that I am in my car, I am listening to worship music. Why? Because I got to be reminded constantly of the promises of God. And when I'm not listening to worship music, I'm listening to Cocomelon. And I hate Cocomelon so much. But I love worship music because it reminds me of the promises of God. Amen. Point number three. Worry. How do I overcome worry? Number three. You're going to hate this one. I do. Persistence. What does that mean? It means I keep praying. And I keep going over the promises of God. How do I seek first his kingdom? I keep praying. I keep declaring the promises of God over my life. This is not a one and done thing. We keep coming back to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always and pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We keep going back to God. I think about the story of the persistent widow. Luke chapter 18. Now Jesus was telling his disciples a parable to make the point that at all times they ought to pray and not give up and lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and had no respect for man. There was a desperate widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me justice and legal protection from my adversary. For a time he would not, but later he said to himself, this is so funny to me, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will give her justice and legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will be an intolerable annoyance, and she will wear me out. Isn't the Bible funny sometimes? Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not our just God defend and avenge his elect, his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay in providing justice on their behalf? I tell you that he will defend and avenge them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find this kind of persistent faith on the earth? Do you have a persistent kind of faith? I want to be known as a people of persistent faith. I want to be known as a mom to my kids of persistent faith. Not a mom that worried about anything and everything, but a mom who came to Jesus about it all. That we seek God, that we pray, that we know the word of God. We know his promises for our life and we are persistent. We do not give up. That this is a weapon that we have to fight worry. Amen? Amen. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to pray for two different groups of people here this morning. The first is those who might be worried about something right now. Could be something small, could be something little, but worry is inside of your heart. I want to pray for you. First step, overcoming worry is to pray, so we're going to pray together. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now. If you would be really honest and say, yeah, there's something that I'm worried about right now. I got my hand up. We're going to pray. Thank you. God, we come to you this morning and we give you our worry. Jesus, thank you for meeting us right where we are. So we lay it at your feet today. We give it to you, God. And God, we commit to this journey of being filled with prayer and your word. Your promises. God, that from today forward, we choose to live in peace. And by doing that, we choose to pray and we choose to seek your word. God, I thank you that we will live worry-free lives. Why? Because of you. And the peace that you give that is going to surpass all natural understanding. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I want to pray for one other group of people, and that is those that are not yet in relationship with Jesus. Maybe this morning you walked in here for the first time, and this is the first time that you ever heard that there is a God that loves you and a God that cares for you, a God that has a hope and a future for you. That you don't need to live in fear, that you don't need to live with worry, that you can live with peace because of who God is. So this morning, if you want to enter into relationship with Jesus, I'm gonna ask you to lift your hand as well. And just acknowledge, yes, Alyssa, can you pray for me? I want to receive Jesus into my heart. I want to become a Christian, Christ in me. And so I'm gonna ask you at the count of three just to lift your hand, just like we did a second ago, just so that I can pray with you. We're not gonna do anything crazy. We're just gonna pray. So at the count of three, one, two, three, go ahead and lift your hand. Amen, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? We're gonna give it one more second. I see that hand, amen. Amen, I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand too. Amen. I see that hand. Amazing. So incredible. Church, can we give it up for all of those people? I think we can do a little bit better than that. That eternity has been changed in this moment. Pretty crazy. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed again, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. We're all gonna repeat it together. Say, God, thank you for loving me. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I am now a Christian, Christ in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.